Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
We knew this one was coming. Anybody who has been listening to Free Talk Live talk about Venezuela over the last several years on this program and watching as the socialist nation has just been wreaking havoc on their economy through their insane economic policies like forced or government-mandated exchange rates for currencies, would know that in the past, the Venezuelan government lopped off some zeros from their currency, and they called the new currency the Strong Bolivar. So it was the Bolivar, and then they lopped off some zeros, and they called it the Strong Bolivar, the Bolivar Fuerte.
Yeah, this has been done before. Greece did basically the same thing a couple of years ago.
Did Greece lop off some zeros?
They basically forced deflation, I want to call it.
They took a percentage that's the same thing.
Cyprus, you're referring to the haircut.
Oh, I'm sorry, Cyprus. Okay, I was thinking that was the same thing as Greece for whatever reason.
Crete is an island that is shared between Greece and Turkey.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, well, perhaps you're thinking of Crete.
So was it Cyprus that did the haircut, is what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. What happened in Greece then?
Greece is a financial disaster, and they aren't going to pay their debts to the EU.
Oh, that was the EU thing, right. In a country where a dozen eggs can cost hundreds of thousands of bolivars amid worsening inflation, he would chop three zeros off the currency, arguably bringing the price for those eggs down to 250 bolivars. I ask you for all your prayers and support for the success of the monetary reconversion, he said in a televised event Thursday night. Well, that's because you're going to need prayers, because this is not an economically sound policy. And really, the only question is, once they lob off the three zeros, is how long it will take for them to get right back to where they are. Because it did take them a decade. You know, a decade, dozen years or something like that from the last time they did this. It was sometime in the aughts, I think it was, where they, again, devalued the currency by creating the so-called Strong Bolivar. And now they're running through the same playbook yet again. But the inflation is much worse now than it was then.
They're already in this deflationary spiral to such a large extent that it... They're really in trouble.
In Buncombe County, which is in the western part of our state, I guess there's some a-hole running for sheriff. And evidently he was asked about, gun confiscation, specifically, would you take it from their cold, dead hands? And he sort of kind of joked about it and said, well, yeah, I guess that's what we got to do, right? So I'm sort of kind of, wondering what your take is on a sheriff who is willing to kill people to get their guns.
I mean, pretty much my same take on all cops, maybe moved up the priority list, but that's not really a moral standard, and it's kind of a meaningless standard because we're not at the first person on the priority list yet. So, obviously bad. I'm not sure what else you want other than that.
Nothing in particular. I guess that says enough.
What's new? I mean, if you look at sheriffs around the country, I imagine if there was some kind of poll of sheriffs, the supermajority would absolutely confiscate guns if that was what they were ordered to do. I suspect you would find
some. They're not all chomping at the bit to do it, though.
Oh, yeah, but Mark, but they'll do it if they're told, right? And that's just as bad as chomping at the bit.
If you want to ban ARs, you want to send more black people who have not harmed anyone to prison. That's the reality of this. Gun confiscation is racist every single time. Nobody wants to say it because it's the rich white liberals that want to take the guns.
Well,
they want to get them out of the hands of other rich white liberals.
Well, they took guns from white people during Hurricane Katrina.
They did.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah,
they took guns from everybody.
But they didn't put them in prison.
It's like, there's this contingent of people who are like, on one hand, like, out of my cold, dead hands. And on the other hand, they're like, worshiping the cops that are saying, okay, you're cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
That's what really bakes my noodle.
I drive through in my mother's neighborhood. I was just in Sarasota, Florida, in her neighborhood is what I presume to be a cop's house, where the three flags fly in a pole. The top is the American flag. Beneath it is the Gadsden flag, and beneath that is the thin blue line flag. So you have on, you know, wow. You have the American flag, the don't tread on me.
That's a nasty sandwich right there.
Which is pretty obvious that the it's the American government that will do the treading when it treads, and it's the police that will come to do the treading when the treading is done. Venezuela could have learned its lesson. The government of Venezuela could choose to reevaluate their currency at 1 to 235,000, and then just keep it there, as they say, dollarize their currency, and just keep it there by pulling currency in rather than creating more money by pulling it in and destroying it. And all you have to do that is basically, you know, it's a transaction online. We're not talking about burning bills here. They wouldn't do that. The bills are, you know, constructs of value, but most money isn't in the form of bills. Banks aren't holding on to big piles of cash.
That's
most
right.
Bank vaults are full of paperwork. Mm-hmm. They don't even have things in their vaults really much anymore. I was just listening to a teller say this. We don't even have money in our vault.
Really?
So they don't. Huh.
There's no reason for a bank to keep money in their vault.
Well, they've got some in there, but but yeah, it's not what you would expect. It's not like you see in the movies, I imagine. But so you've got the two proposals here that are being pitched to the Venezuelan people. One is from Nicolas Maduro, the president, who's presided over a precipitous decline in economic strength in the country. He's the one who wants to lop the zeros off. His opponent, who is running against him in elections that are set for May, which should be very interesting because we've been following along with the sort of the political mess over in Venezuela here as well. Henri Falcon is the one who wants to do the dollarization of the Venezuelan economy, which he says would prevent the new printing of bills and instantly constraining inflation. Larger transactions are done by bank card or transfer, although some vendors are charging double for electronic payments. I mean, after all, you have to pay the credit card company a certain portion of the fee, and you know, by the time you get done with the business of the day, the currency's probably devaluated some more by that time. So it's not easy. In fact, we also read a story recently that it's getting so crazy that they can't even put in the number of zeros they need into the credit card machines. So the credit card PIN pad machine that every business has was only designed to have however many zeros it was designed to have. You know, the average retailer isn't doing a $100,000 sale. Right, that's not happening in most places that are using credit card machines.
Right.
But in Venezuela, 100,000, you know, a bolivar is less than a U.S. dollar. So it's regularly occurring that you've got seven, eight-digit sales happening at checkouts.
Yeah, surely somebody bought a lawnmower in the last month in Venezuela, right? Yeah.
Well, I mean, even buying dinner, you're talking about if you could afford dinner, if you can afford to go eat out.
And lots of people are losing weight in Venezuela.
Yes, yes. But if there's some tourist in Venezuela who's actually eating at one of the restaurants that's still open.
If there's a tourist in Venezuela, they're a really horrible person. I'm just going to throw that out there.
According to the story here, bolivars with lower denominations will be circulated, the new ones. Because, again, they're knocking three zeros off. But the old bolivars with denominations as high as 100,000 bolivars would remain valid. It would leave vendors charging two prices, one for old bills, the other for the redenominated bolivar. Salaries would also be redenominated, so little would change in terms of buying power, which, of course, means you won't be able to buy Jack S., because right now I think the average salary is like $5 a month, essentially, worth of bolivar in Venezuela. And you can check me on that, but it was pretty dismal the last that I heard. Economists say simply chopping off zeros of the bolivar notes is unlikely to halt hyperinflation, since the government would still be printing reams of cash. In addition, the forces that have sent prices soaring, including food and medical scarcities, would remain in place. Now remember, the scarcity of those things, I guess what you got to look at the way these journalists try to explain economics in this case.
Well, they don't know it.
Right. That's why it's problematic. Yeah, food and medicinal supplies are scarce, and certainly scarcity is going to send prices upward, no doubt about that. But the reason for the scarcity is because of the government's manipulations in the economy in the first place. Jean-Paul Lindez, senior economist at the Caracas-based Ecoanalytica, says, quote, taking out three zeros doesn't in any way solve any of the causes of hyperinflation.
Nope.
It's just a cosmetic fix that won't work, unquote. Maduro's announcement is just his latest attempt to control runaway inflation. He has already launched a new cryptocurrency, the Petro, supposedly. So far, the last time we checked, you couldn't even get the Petro if you wanted to. Like, even if you wanted to give this government money, which you shouldn't do, you couldn't get it because their site was broken when they launched this thing. I think it was February 20th. So it's actually been more than a month since they officially launched the pre-ordering of the Petro, because the original plan was not that the Petro would be available on launch, that a token would be sold to you on another cryptocurrency's blockchain, which originally it was supposed to be Ethereum, but then they changed it to, I think it was NEO or EOS, one of the other ones. They changed it to a different crypto, like, right before they launched. And then even if you wanted to go and get that, you couldn't, because their site was so effing broken, you couldn't get through it without JavaScript errors popping up. It was impossible. Quote, the prices of everything are calculated at the rate of the dollar here. The only thing that isn't dollarized is salaries.
Now, this dollarization is basically how the states have to work, too. So you pick your state. We'll call it West Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. West Virginia can't just issue currency to pay its bills. That's the problem. Venezuela can. So if they dollarize their currency, then they have to do like West Virginia, California, New York, and these sorts of things, is come up with a budget and then pay that budget. There's certainly, sort of bookkeeping tricks that states do, and mm-hmm. they go into debt and all have all kinds of problems and that sort of thing. But it keeps a level of responsibility that isn't there when you can just say, well, we need more money, just make more money.
And that's how they've been doing it.
That's how they've been doing it. Like, that is their solution up to this point for the problem, making more money.
And so Falcon's right. The prices of things are calculated at the rate of the dollar. It's just that they still have all these pesky, Venezuelan bolivar floating around out there. And there's a lot of them. Falcon's dollarization plan, analysts say, may present Venezuela with a bigger fix than Maduro's redenomination. One of the analysts says, quote, one is a superficial makeup-like change. The other is an actual restructuring aimed at stopping inflation.
Meet Bag McMurka, Pirate Party candidate for governor in Utah. And today, I want to talk about the world's greatest troll, who is Boston Antifa. And I know you guys have had a few conversations with this guy in the past. Are you aware of how powerful and familiar he is?
Okay, first of all, I don't know if there's just one Antifa person in Boston. I would imagine there's more than one.
Yes. Now, I've listened to you guys for a while, and I remember this guy who was saying he was a member of the Boston Antifa.
Yeah. He sounded like a troll. I mean, I don't think anybody here ever actually believed that he was in Antifa. He sounded like a right-winger who is pretending to be in Antifa.
He's not. He's actually a libertarian. It's funny because he actually got his start. Years ago, there was this website called 9GAG that was... That 4chan people were claiming that 9GAG was stealing all their memes. And so this guy went online and said that he was part of the 9GAG army, and he was going to declare war on 4chan, and that he would have the whole power of the 9GAG army behind him.
Okay.
And it actually, like, sort of went viral. The Pirate Party is a party that believes that you should be free to say where your taxes go if you have to pay taxes.
That's better than nothing.
Reasonable.
I'm better than nothing. Yes.
Now, was this inspired by the party, by the Pirate Party of Iceland or Europe or where?
Back in the day, when I started this thing back in 2012 or something like that. I mean, it was really more or less a joke to get anarcho-capitalist ideas into politics in Utah. And so, but I really never went anywhere with it, and I was really kind of lazy. So I decided I'm going to, just run for governor under the Pirate Party and just have that be my thing. Like, if we have to pay taxes, you should be free to say where your taxes go, even if it goes back to yourself.
All right, tell me about running
I want to throw a big party for Baron Trump. I mean, I figure at the very least, it'll be genuinely fun.
Was that one of his kids?
Yeah. That's the youngest of his children.
Okay. Anyway, back to the Pirate Party. So tell me more about how is it running for governor in Utah? I mean, can you just tell them, I want to be this party, and then they let you on the ballot as PIR? Or, like, what's it going to be like?
You know, to be honest, I'm really not sure, and I really don't care.
I'm thinking about quitting Instacart and going for a different job.
Okay. Wait, can you do it in the opposite order, please?
Hold on. So let's update our listeners here briefly. Dave, you are somebody who has called this show over the years. Usually, you're very angry. You don't sound that angry today, so that's nice to hear. It's a bit of a refreshing change. But normally, you don't have a job, but recently you did get a job with what they call Instacart. Now, this appears to be, from what you described it as, is like the Uber of grocery shopping, meaning that somebody would contact this Instacart company, put together some sort of a grocery order, and then they would get in touch with you as one of their drivers, and you would go shop the order and then take the food to the customer, right?
Yeah, something like that. But Instacart does
something
not
like
pay
that. Something
by
like
the
that
hour.
That. Okay, right. Yeah. They pay you by the job.
Yeah, they pay you by the job. They pay you by commission. I don't want to be paid by the commission, and sometimes there's days and hours available, and sometimes there's not, you know? Yeah. I want something that where I can go to, like, you know, like every day or something, you know?
You want a job, like a regular lazy job, where you can just do as little work as you possibly can and get paid hourly for it, right?
Although I would say, like, it's probably a really bad idea if you're going to be, and you kind of are a quasi-public figure, people can find you to be announcing who your employer is, whether even if you're not talking about them negatively, but definitely if you're talking about them negatively on the air.
Yeah, anybody
and I
that
think
Googles,
that you have some experience
no.
with that and
right.
why that's a bad idea.
Good point. Most job no, applicants no, are going to no. get Googled what? These days, and anybody that Googles your name, Dave Grady, is going to find out that you've got a real angry internet demeanor, that you've been pretty nasty to people online. You think that's going to hurt your chances?
Well, because you know, people like to like you know egg me on, kind of like
you always blame it on other people,
right? But Dave, a lot of the time people will overlook that. I mean, I've had jobs after I've been on the show. A lot of the time people will overlook that as long as you don't put their name in it. So as long as you're not on the air talking about Instacart or Hertz or whoever else. Some jobs aren't going to overlook that, but some of them will. You just kind of have to leave their name out of it.
One of the things that has sort of been a topic of late has been an exodus of people from monster corporate internet platforms like Facebook. In fact, Shire Dude recently posted on the Free Talk Live forums, on one of the other forums there, about leaving Facebook, about being inspired to leave and find other options. And he said that, you know, Facebook, that he believes, has damaged the libertarian movement, and that he's with me on the idea
of
leaving.
You believe that too, don't you?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And that he's with me on the idea of leaving, but he's proposing going to another platform.
MeWe?
MeWe.
Yeah, everybody's going over to MeWe, but there's...
I just don't understand. I think they
banned... Because everyone's going to magically act different if it's a different website.
Right, I think MeWe banned gun forums today as I saw something like that.
Oh, yeah, and didn't they claim to be freedom of speech or whatever?
Well, sure, until it's something they don't want to hear.
Right. So, I mean, that's...
Leave it to the libertarians to find out their... you know,
push the boundaries.
Find out the boundaries.
Right. That wasn't a very far boundary.
No, well. No.
So, you know, my response was, well, what is the purpose of replacing one terrible platform with another platform that's trying to ape that that platform when we can have decentralized options, when we can have open source solutions. We at the very least have options that aren't run by these insane, you know, government connected mega corporations.
I mean, can you really have an open source website? I mean, someone's hosting the website, someone's paying for the website upkeep.
For me, Facebook was a way to try to keep in touch with people, to, you know, attempt to create events for people to be aware of what's happening and potentially go to those things.
Well, Facebook
in real life
isn't good for that.
No, it certainly
was
is not.
At one time. I feel like they've made it less good for that over time. I feel like that in the past, Facebook was a decent way of creating an event.
Organizing people to go to an event. But
now,
not so much.
You, if you want people to go or see something on Facebook, Facebook wants you to pay them to reach those people.
Right. I think what you should do is find some event organizing software that you know, works well with people, and then use Facebook as a way to promote that, along with other means to promote things. I know, look, I get it. Facebook is a time sink.
It's
to
awful.
Me.
Wait,
that's what's bad about
Facebook
it.
Facebook is an advertising tool. So
yes, and
if you
product.
Have people yeah. who already know what libertarianism is and want to be there, then they should go to whatever site for calendars or forums or whatever. You shouldn't have
they
to
should,
advertise to the people who you've already reached.
Every time I see somebody on Facebook, they're almost always scrolling. Every time.
Yeah.
If I just walk by somebody on their phone, if I walk by somebody on their laptop, and I just happen to notice, well, what's the website they're on? It's Facebook, and they're scrolling.
Is that somehow worse than playing Tetris on your phone or Angry Birds?
If that's how
or
you
staring
spend,
into space,
no. If you want
it's
spend
not like these people would be curing cancer if not for Facebook.
They might be doing something more productive. You're certainly right that if you're spending your leisure time watching, you know, Facebook versus watching television, it's just one thing versus another. But if you want to get more things done, well, guess what? Every amount of time you're spending watching television or watching Facebook is time you could be doing things that are more productive. I've gotten more done since I've left Facebook, and I never did it with the intention of, like, trying to get other people to leave, with the exception of, hey, if you want to get in touch with me, you can't do it through this platform anymore, so you'll have to leave if you want to get in touch with me. Not that I think I'm that important, but I did get a comment from somebody. Oh, I won't say who it is, but he's a person who moved up to New Hampshire for the Liberty migration, and he says, thanks to people like you, I've been inspired
people
to
people like you,
because I'm not the only one. He says he's been inspired to remove the Facebook app from his phone and leave most of the groups that he was in. I'm on Facebook a lot less now. A lot of the folks who have followed our page or like our page saw something at some point from the page that they liked. So they clicked over and they hit like on the page. It might have been because they liked some witty meme that got posted or some video of whatever it was, some kind of libertarian thing. They liked that, so they liked our page. How many of them even know that Free Talk Live is a talk radio show? How many of the 90,000 people who've liked the page have ever gone to listen to 10 minutes of the show, let alone a full show? How many of them have ever subscribed to right. the podcast feed? So what's the value of getting on a Facebook page and interacting with people who you don't even know are listeners of the show? I guess the idea is that maybe they'll listen, but again, we can't really prove that they ever have.
Okay, and so that might not be a good marketing technique for your particular product. That doesn't mean that it's not a good marketing technique for any product, including ideas as products.
Well, yeah, you think that you can go to Facebook and convert people to libertarianism, so I say have at it, man. If that's what your hobby is,
God, I mean,
God has bless you.
I'd rather start up the hobby of chewing tinfoil and shoving bamboo shoots underneath
my
fingernails.
But that's not going to accomplish anything.
Everybody's got
neither
have
is
a hobby.
Talking to people about libertarianism on Facebook.
She claims that she learned about. Didn't you learn about freedom from some social bookmark thing or no?
I
feel like you
I don't
have
know
some
what
kind
the
of success
first
story.
Site. I mean, I was converted on the internet, obviously. I was living in Louisiana. I wasn't converted on Facebook,
not Facebook
specifically.
I was coming back on a road trip from California at Amboy, and there's Mad Mike Hughes in his rocket shooting off for the second time, and I was a witness to history.
You actually saw this rocket guy? Was that the dude who said he was a flat earther and he wanted to prove his theory?
Yes, and he went up 1,875 feet, and then he had a malfunction, and he floated back to Earth. I just happened to be driving on Route 66. I want
and you saw it. You saw it happen.
I want all of
Yeah, interesting how people who don't know science at all would make a faulty rocket. Nobody saw that coming.
Well, I mean, We don't know what level of scientific knowledge he had because he was
working. Yes, we do, because he was a flat earther.
Well, now, wait a minute. He was working with, like, some kind of rocket company in order to do this, and it's just only a matter of...
I'm delighted the man survived the experience.
I'm surprised he survived the experience.
And he's clearly brave, and it's obvious
there's
that bravery...
There's a fine line between bravery and stupidity, though.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could put this out over the airwaves.
You know, the APD here, they gave out 90 speeding tickets on our freeways in the last 3 days.
Okay. So
that gets you excited,
where?
Right?
The state police have handed out 90 tickets on freeways, what, in all of New Mexico or somewhere around wherever it is that you are? I don't know the relevance, I guess.
Well, APD stands for Albuquerque Police Department, APD.
Okay.
So it's on I-40, I-25 freeways in Albuquerque, within Albuquerque. So but I'm very happy about it because it's better than raising taxes. No, they've already decided to raise taxes.
It's not better than raising taxes. It is the same thing as raising taxes.
Well, no, it taxes specific people.
Right. Well, most taxes don't affect everyone equally.
True, but...
I mean, what they do is they raise gross receipts, gas tax, and property tax. And I know that you guys pay property tax. You were talking about it. New Hampshire has very high property
tax.
They
do, yeah. It's
awful. So why do they want to jack up people that just pay mortgage payments, you know, that own a house? You know, they need to get... I'm happy because they're getting people that are doing 90 miles an hour, causing 10 car pileups when they crash and one person killed and or get their head smashed in through the windshield. So I'm so happy that they pay and help fund the city.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.